When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
We're allowed to talk. It's okay. You'll be okay. So everybody can talk and voice their concerns while at the same time noting that it's a spring game, and we'll see what happens. Showcase, spring showcase, guys. Not a spring game at all. On Twitter, it's at J Cameron Show. It's where you go there. We thank our friends at Tried and True Consulting. By the way, Tried and True Consulting, a payments and business solutions company owned by fellow Knowles. That's a good thing. As Knowles business owners, they're committed to reducing costs and increasing your bottom line and giving back 10% of their net revenue to the battle's end. Hey, now. Get the trifecta today. Scan the QR code. If you're watching on the screen, you'll see that QR code. Do it. You can also call alumni's Don or Joe at 844-464-6653. That's 844-I'm-4-Noel. Go tried and true today. So it's interesting. Before the break, I said that portal season has begun for Florida State. It's already begun for other teams, and you got to imagine that the process of reaching out to certain Florida State players, perhaps the frustration of certain Florida State players, and these last practice that occurred yesterday and the sit-down exit interviews will reveal something of a game plan for the coaching staff, for each segment group, but also for those individuals and what their future is and what their future holds. So, be curious. I have a suspicion that you're going to lose some players in that wide receiving core. That doesn't necessarily mean, Tom, that it's a panicky thing to talk about or a reason to worry. I think certain guys are not going to be the caliber of player necessary to get them over here, and they can go take their skills elsewhere, and it might be mutually agreed upon as the right choice. Everything in the transfer portal does not have to be acrimonious. I'm thinking about something right now that you circle back on. You know, we've really been fortunate for the most part, Tom. You can't go back and look at too many segment groups and say, oh, wow, we really got hurt by the portal there. You know, this kid left us, and you know, I don't know if it was more money or tampering or whatever the hell it was, but we lost this kid and it's changed our fortunes. You really can't say that about any one group at Florida State. I will say that as I sit here today, I lamented it at the time and I'm still lamenting it today, and I'm wondering if they do too. Would have been nice to have Bless Harris here, Tom. Would have been nice to have Bless Harris still on this roster, who I thought was a better player than Byers, and he's gone. He's off to TCU, and I felt like I would have liked to have seen him in the spring game.
Well, right tackle is something where they think that Jeremiah is going to grow into that position, and where you need to at least pause before making a sweeping and resounding judgment is spring camp could be a time for technical adjustments, where they're trying to get somebody's tools sharpened for the season. You know, so it could be anything from the playbook we run on offense, which we talked about with Jordan Travis from a couple of years ago. Like they know that he can run, so they're going to try to put him in some uncomfortable situations to see what else he can do. It could be technical things for a member of the defensive back room. They're working on their footwork. They're working on whatever it is, their spacing, their ability to play up against man-to-man coverage, bump and run coverage at the line of scrimmage, and maybe their technique is out of whack. So they look foolish in the spring, but then they're okay in the fall. So I always want to pause just a little bit in that situation. But having said all of that, watching the showcase was an extension of some of the things I saw in spring camp when I was there. And that's, right tackle isn't isn't locked down. It isn't in a position where you say, I know we're fine over there. And I'm hoping that we get to a place in the fall where Darius might be able to be interchangeable at either tackle spot. If we're in a place like that, I think the offensive line gets a whole lot better top to bottom. I like the solutions they have at guard. And I brought that up in the first hour. The two SEC transfers look very good at guard. So if that's the case, and Darius has to be on the field for you, because I think he's one of your best five, if not one of your best two or three offensive linemen. If he's ever lined up at right tackle for us this year, I think we're going to be in a really, really good spot as an offensive line. The limiting factor, again, this defensive line is quite good and pretty deep. So, you know, whether it's a guy in the interior on the offensive line or somebody that's a starter looks a little foolish, this group is deep and good on the defensive line. And I think they're going to reset the line of scrimmage against most of our opponents this fall, which is what you get really excited about upcoming when we start in Dublin.
The strength of the team at the end of last year, without question, was the defense. Part of that was how injury-riddled Florida State was on offense. Just so many important players, including the starting quarterback that got hurt. And so it stood the reason that you would see the offense sputter, struggle its way down the stretch with those injuries. But the defense rose up and dominated all the way through the ACC championship game and gave you a chance to go undefeated. And I think that as we go into this season, it's interesting the outlook. And again, without panicking, but just talking about areas of concern and need and maybe areas that just have to grow and get a little bit better and leaving room for that growth and understanding that quite possibly it'll happen. I mean, it does happen. You can get better. The spring is really a time to work on those technicalities you're speaking of, Tom, and it's a time to experiment with certain players in certain roles. Even if they're not able to fulfill those roles, coaches will sometimes want to see how they respond to being put in those situations. Is it a case where in a pickle, we could use this player here? Oh no, we tried that in spring. It's not going to work out. He didn't mesh real well. So we're going to have to maybe go out and get somebody. Or, you know, I really liked so-and-so here. We could probably utilize his skills if need be, and maybe even continue this process in the fall and let him transition to this position. These are the things that happen. And so spring is a luxury in that way for coaches. Coaches are always searching. They're always obviously experimenting to some extent, and they want to see what guys can and cannot do. What better time to do it than in the spring when the results don't matter, meaning the games of consequence don't exist. So I get all of that. We talked about tight end. I saw there was an active chat in the conversation in the chat about tight end. Guys, I will tell you that as much as we, I think, do need better inline blocking from a tight end at this point, that segment group is, I think, going to be average, but partly because you don't have a blocking tight end. Please remember, Biscuit stunk last year. For all the people that wish we had Biscuit back, this is not a personal attack. He came into camp out of shape, never played his way into shape, was wildly inconsistent, didn't block well, and really kind of fell out of favor because of it. That's just the reality of the situation. So it's not like they were like, take it on down the road, kid, even though he was playing well. No, he wasn't. And so that wasn't something that I think they were overly worried about. I just don't know that you've got a guy that right now can do it. Those two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. What gets fun here, because this is a good team. So I would reset that, at least from where I'm standing. I know we talked about this on the phone today. Like, this is a good team. I mean, this is a double-digit win team. The question is, how many pieces can you add to, you know, push up against running the table, 11 and 12
yeah,
wins?
That's, yeah, that's yeah.
And the fun part now is doing the math. And all we can do right now is speculate because we don't know how many kids are on the way out. We've got people that we think are, but what is the actual number and what are the number of spaces available for this roster? So let's experiment with it. You think there's three spots open? You think there's five spots open? Because that makes a difference as to how you attack the portal and what positions you entertain from the portal. Because I think if there's three spots available, you've got defensive interior, a wide receiver at this point. I think it's climbed up the list that high. And then at that point, maybe best player available. Now, if you're at four or five, you might see some more aggression and maybe in terms of quick visits or contact between the parties, these types of reports that you're seeing all over the place, Warchan and On3 for the other programs, Florida State now is now getting into the act. You can cast a wider net and see what sticks. But I am interested to find out what the number is going to be. How many spaces do we have? We know it's at the top of the list, but how many extra things can they add? And we're going to find out probably in the next day or two.
We will. And I did speculate already that I think what's going to happen is you're going to lose a few receivers. Don't know which ones. I mean, I think we could all certainly place guesses and give the odds for those guesses, right? I mean, some of these guys have been here a while and have not been able to crack through as guys that are a regular part of the rotation and yet still have the requisite skill set to go probably start somewhere else. Those are prime candidates. That's really every segment group. I think we have that at wide receiver. I thought it was interesting, Tom, you pointed out Keziah Holmes played well at running back in this game, and I thought he did too. I thought he's had a good camp. I think a lot of the running backs have had a good camp. And that too is a position where I've kind of thought they may lose somebody. They may lose somebody. You got so many talented running backs. You could certainly see how it could happen.
It's really hard to project who that's going to be. You're correct. You look at the receiver room and you can kind of guess. Eligibility remaining, how many years they've been on campus, production since they've been here at Florida State for one reason or another. Probably not going to work out. You can look at that tight end room to a degree as well and maybe find a candidate or two that it may or may not work for. The defensive back room. You go down the line and there are some obvious places. Running back is tough. Running back is really tough to project. And, you know, there's an instance early in the game where I thought Roydell missed a block. I think it was a lead blocking opportunity. And Keziah made that play later on. It's the third down throw to Malik Benson from DJU, probably outside of the outside throw to Kentron, the best moment for the passing game. Well, that's sprung because Keziah Holmes comes up and blocks Omar Graham like a man because there's a pressure coming up the middle, and the pass pro deal is very, very important. So, you know, if you asked me before the spring game, if you had to guess, I'm wondering if Keziah might be the odd man out, and that's not fair to anybody who might be the odd man out. Keziah's showcase was very impressive top to bottom. Man, I don't want to lose that kid because if you can do it all, you've got the speed, you've got the power, you've got the ability to block, you've got the willingness to block, both as a lead blocker and in pass pro. That's the guy that helps you win football games.
Generally speaking, when you're going to lose players because you have too many good ones in a segment group, you're going to miss those players, or at least it's going to tug at your heartstrings a little bit when you lose them. And I think that that's true. Like if you go back, there was a running back that Tom really liked, who's no longer with the program. And that was a guy that on the day that it was announced that he was going in the transfer portal, now that ended up being a really stupid decision on his part, in my opinion. And he got some terrible advice along the way, and that's most unfortunate. We used him as a lesson last week when we talked about what is and what is not real out there that is being offered up. But that player, when it was announced, I immediately was like, ooh, Tom had to exhale when he read that one. That one hurt. That one hurt. And I also think that's going to be true when it happens here. You raise the level of talent. Suddenly, you look a lot of places and you say, yeah, they're pretty good here. They're really good here. That group is loaded. Man, if a group is loaded, why are they loaded? Because they have talent to burn. There's more talent than you can possibly get on the field. So by definition, when one of them leaves, you just lost a talented player. And you're going to go, damn it, we just lost a really talented player. But that's how it goes.
It is how it goes. And it's going to happen. I mean, unless you lose one of the younger guys, but that wouldn't make a whole ton of sense. They love Toa Fili. They've been limiting him and putting him in spots to succeed, raving about him.
They know what he can do, yeah.
They know what he can do, so they're limiting him. So that he's not one. They just brought in Roydell from Alabama.
Cam ain't going anywhere, just got here.
Dansey, when he comes in, is not going anywhere. Singleton's only in his second year on campus.
Keziah
came in as a transfer for a couple seasons ago out of Penn State, but he's got the tools. I don't know where you go. I don't know what you do. So maybe they leave their office door open and they wait to see the first guy who walks through and they're surprised because the depth chart is awfully crowded. We like to run a lot of two back, but I don't think we run enough two back for every one of these guys to be satisfied.
It's also a position of attrition. It's also a position where different styles can really help you at various points of the game or different game plans. So it's, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, you can convince some guys well down the depth chart to stay and say, you know, I foresee us using you in this way. And running backs, the modern running back has gotten a lot more willing to divvy up carries. It's because they see it in the NFL and they understand that the term workhorse doesn't really exist all that often in big time football anymore. Like it used to be that if you were a stud running back, you carried the ball 25 to 30 times a game, if not more. I mean, I remember Emmitt Smith with one functioning shoulder trying to win a playoff position for the Dallas Cowboys or home field, whatever it was against the Giants. And I mean, he was literally, they just kept rolling him back out there with a separated shoulder, like 35 carries, 40 carries. That's how the running back position was. In fact, running backs used to bitch and complain if they had a game where they got 21 carries. In the post-game press conference, they'd be like, well, you know, I was really just getting into a rhythm because by about the 15th or 18th carry, I was starting to feel good. Like they wanted, but that's not the modern running back. So the modern running back's like, man, there's only so much tread on the tire. And we take a beat. And our value has fallen off a cliff.
Can I make a suggestion for college football? Since we've already jumped the shark and players are getting contracts and they can go unlimited transfers, can we introduce trades to college football? Can we introduce trades between programs? Because, guys, you know, if I'm looking at, let's find a program that we're not playing, Oklahoma State. Maybe Oklahoma State has an extra safety floating around, or maybe they've got
running back, but we don't need a running back.
Right, we don't need a run. But let's say they got an extra D tackle that's not happy there. You know, it's just, it's not working out. It's not a fit for the staff. Good player. Boy, could I interest you in a running back or two that we have? I've got a young member of our secondary. I'm just not sure we've got room for him, but you're going to love him. Because I know slot corner is something that you need, Mike Gundy. I know that's something you need. Let's just introduce trades because Florida State has so many good running backs. That'd be the first place I'd look at get some value for what we're sending out there.
I would love it. I would love it. Just like I would love some Zaxby's, and you would too, right here, right now. Lord knows you have an opportunity on your drive home from work this evening. Just choose from one of our 86 local Zaxby's in town. Get you one of the big platters. Zach sauce, Texas toast. You know, you've heard recently they've introduced shrimp to the menu. Give it a go. I got to admit, I was suspect when they brought the Philly in and they were telling you about how good the Philly was going to be. And I said on air, rather unorthodox way of advertising a product, that I thought it was going to suck. Turned out it didn't suck. It was delicious. So when I heard about shrimp, I thought, I don't know, Zaxby's. But then I remembered The Philly was so good. So maybe I'll get the shrimp tonight and be shocked at how good the shrimp is.
Well, the best part about the Philly, other than its flavor, was the fact that they took the time to detail and go find some good bread for it.
You know, the buns.
It's not the bun that looks like it's in the break room and it's used as a cushion that people sit on when they're taking a break. We've all been to those places where you're like, man, was this from 2 months ago? I know there's no mold on it, but I don't think this is a good piece of bread here. That's what Zaxby's says. They're very detail-oriented.
I don't want to associate Zaxby's with this negative thing that I'm about to bring up, so I'll just say get you some Zaxby's tonight. By the way, over 19 years as a Golden Chief booster, Danny and the fine folks at Zaxby's doing the right thing, investing in Florida State Athletics. Before we go to break, Tom, I'll just tell you, I'm a risk-taker when it comes to food. I'll eat stuff that's been laying around for days. My wife is in awe at the risks I'll take with certain food items. I'll go, hey, how long has this chicken been in here?
Oh,
she'll go, well, I mean, didn't you grill? No, it's grilled, Tom. It's not raw chicken.
Yeah.
She'll go, well, it's when you grilled up all the chicken breasts for the kids last weekend. But so it's been like 5 days. I bet that chicken's still good, babe. I'm going to heat it up and eat it. She's like, no, I just throw it away. No, let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. Looks good. I remember that chicken. It was good. I seasoned it perfect. I do it with a lot of items. I'll leave stuff that's supposed to be cold out for too long. I once left some half and half creamer that I needed in my car for a full day.
Oh,
forgot all about it. Reached in the back seat to grab something else. Saw the bag laying there, and it was in the shaded part of the seat. And I thought, you know, no sun ever hits that the way my car sits. I'll use this creamer. Guess what? It was fine. It was delicious. Didn't tell anybody I'd been sitting in my car for a day. It's the kind of risk I'm willing to take, Tom.
You know, come to think of it, I really had to use the bathroom later that day, and it was a very interesting. Man, you can't.
I take chances, buddy.
That you're taking chances with dairy? Dude, that
dairy
is.
Dairy and chicken? I'm taking chances with it all.
Do you at least use your nose, or do you just hold your nose and say, I'll bet it's good?
No, I smell it first. I'm not a dumbass. I'm not like going to look at that thing and be like, oh, it's rotten. Can't wait.
I don't know. Maybe you're just a daredevil when it comes to the food. You're like, well, we'll find out. And you take it and you see.
I'm a risk taker, buddy. That's all I'll say. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Man, I was in the middle of pitching a perfect game and I screwed it up for a millisecond. It was a casual perfect game. I was just kind of like, this is too easy. We need to really spruce this up, make it more difficult. I'm just not even paying attention, just randomly hitting buttons, knowing what I'm doing, just like that. And then all of a sudden, back to reality. I heard two things going at once, but at least I don't have any panic in me, Tom Lang. You learned that about me on the board. No panic.
It happens. I recall the first times I did Florida State baseball games, and those were difficult back in the day. When Florida State baseball was on the road specifically, because every press box you went to was a completely different story. The connection quality would go through these different places, the Zephyr machine, the ISDN machine.
Oh, the Zephyr machine. Good Lord.
Remember that? That was actually the most reliable of all of them.
I do remember the Zephyr.
If it was on the Zephyr, it made a noise. It would ding, and you're like, oh yeah.
Baby. Oh, yeah. We got it.
Wrong. This is going to be fine. But there were little things like highlights you had to play and different liners, and you had to be ready for an extra 30 seconds in case Tom Block or Lulu had to go to the bathroom. They'd finish the inning and say, we'll be right back on Seminole Radio. And then you go and you hear extra 30. And then as the because they had to go to the bathroom. So, yeah, it was tough to throw a perfect game for those baseball moments.
I want to say thanks to everybody that came out to the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill on Friday. Carried that over, some of you did, and went to the event that helped benefit the Battles Inn. Mike Norvell was mighty pumped up. That was good. All made for a great Friday. Appreciate you coming out, and really appreciated as well the folks that we saw at Hotel Indigo before the game on Saturday. Really just kind of a casual meet and greet. It was not on the seventh floor. I went up to the seventh floor, Tom, to make sure that there weren't people just kind of meandering about. Saw some lost souls up there. Said, no, come on down here. We're down here by the grill, where the beer is flowing and the food is delicious. But it's on the ground floor, and got to meet up and have a good conversation with Ingram. And got to see a lot of people who came in from out of town, meet their kids as well. It was awesome. And then moseyed on over to the game. And so it was the showcase, because it was not a game, the showcase itself, and made for a weird experience. Doak did this weekend. It's going to be a weird year over there. I just hope that on game day, there's an atmosphere, there's a sense of an advantage. I don't know that it's going to be that way, because it's just awkward. It's just a weird thing over there. We'll see.
They're going to have to come up with some solutions for acoustics, right? To make sure that the noise
is not loud at all. Yeah.
Well, there's a giant hole in the stadium. I could understand. The sound just travels out the hole and it hits stadium drive. That was when I went down for the first practice. I had to stop. We were walking in. I took the video. I just...
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
There's a hole in the side of the building. You've got, you know, the admissions office, the university testing center, which I remember fondly sweating in that room because I was worried about a midterm or a final. And then behind those buildings, which are gorgeous, nothing. Just little steel or concrete columns. And then you see the field. It's all before you. I would hope they can enclose a lot of that, by the season, because that will help with the noise. At least you'll have the cheering of the fans bouncing off of the walls and the temporary seating and getting back on the field. But I can't imagine what it was like being in that building. Just watching some of the camera angles that they generated on ACC Network, like the camera wells don't exist. They've been knocked down because they were in the bleachers as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to temporarily set up any number of things to make that experience much better than it was, say, Saturday. And you know, it's interesting. I complain about the format. I don't complain. I talk about the showcase and the format and the way that that thing plays out as being less than, you know, riveting. Let's put it that way. It just never is. And I don't know there's a lot that you can do to make it riveting, because the only thing that really would be is an actual game. But it's stripped away even more by the set of circumstances they have at Doak now with the openness, the space, and the construction that's going on. And so you're kind of hard-pressed not to associate that emptiness and that quietness with what you think it's going to sound like in the fall. And I have a suspicion it won't be quite like that. I think they will make adjustments, and there'll be an opportunity to have some semblance of a home field advantage. Although I just don't think that that's going to be – because, listen – I mean, you think about these last couple of years, there have been some moments, right? 4th and 14, and that game in general against Miami was a hell of a moment. And I was in the stands with my father and two boys for that game and went solely as a fan, not as a media member, and was yelling my guts out. And just recall how it's almost like, you know, you certainly can sense that there is a distinct energy that helps infuse a little extra life when it's on the line for the kids down on the field in those big moments. And we've all been places when we've traveled on the road and faced opponents that have really distinct home field advantages. And you can watch how it impacts an offensive team in particular when they can't hear at the line of scrimmage and guys are a half step slow because they have to wait till they see the ball move as opposed to understanding and hearing the signal. It does have an advantage. And I'm not real sure Florida State's going to have the benefit of any of that Come this fall. So, you know, luckily they're a good football team, but
I would consult our resident physicist TPE to see if there's a surface that he could generate that we could put in the open side, the alumni side, that allows for the sound to bounce better, to triangulate the sound or concentrate the sound so it bounces over the field. And could he do so for $50? Because we're spending a lot of money. We're spending a lot of money on a lot of other projects right now. I don't know that we got the cash to fund what exactly would be necessary, but could he do it? Could we get some Reynolds rap out there? Just some Reynolds rap and whatever, just to have something to bounce off of.
I'm, of course, thinking of Eastbound and Down, and I can do it for $10,000. Yeah, I'm going to give you $200 cash. I see him. Look at this guy. He's reporting from the courthouse. Standing outside like a pro's pro. What's happening, partner? It's Ira Shaffel, warchant.com, who's been at the court all day, and for good reason, because if you didn't know, they're the attorneys for FSU and the ACC returned to the Leon County court, and Ira was there to cover it like a pro's pro. How are you, brother?
I'm good, buddy. Felt like we just wasted 3 or 4 hours of our lives, but it is what it is.
Well, thankfully, you wasted 3 or 4 hours of your life while I was here doing this so that I could pick your brain about those 3 hours. And there are a lot of people, whether you think it's a waste of time or not, that want to hear what, if anything, was decided that will or will not impact Florida State's case against the ACC.
Yeah, so the main thing today was the ACC's hearing, the ACC's motion to dismiss the case FSU brought against them in Leon County Court. I think most of us thought, I certainly thought, that FSU was going to win this today and the case would move forward. The ACC kind of hit them a little bit. And FSU kind of was scrambling, and now they're going to have to refile their amended complaint. Basically, what happened was the ACC said that FSU didn't specifically outline why they have jurisdiction for this case in Leon County. I think, you know, the FSU's attorneys were arguing that, well, all throughout our complaint, our amended complaint, we outlined all the reasons that this is happening in Florida. But I guess specifically from an attorney standpoint, you're actually supposed to outline it and make your argument clearly and concisely and not leave any doubt as to whether what you're saying and why it needs to be in Leon County. The judge agreed with the ACC. And it's the first time, really, we've had two hearings now in Leon County with Judge Cooper. And this is really the first time he's seen much in the way of ACC merits to their arguments. So it doesn't mean the case is over. It doesn't mean Florida State lost. What it means is Florida State now has to refile their complaint. They'll get 7 days to do it. And then they, in that new complaint, they have to really spell out exactly why, with case law, why they have jurisdiction to have this case. He called it personal jurisdiction to have this case in Florida. And again, this goes back to the fact that the ACC is based in North Carolina. Florida State obviously is in the state of Florida. The ACC has filed a lawsuit against FSU in North Carolina, and they're trying to get their case moving forward up there. So if FSU wants this to move forward in Leon County, they're going to have to file an amended complaint. Then the ACC is going to have to respond to that. So this whole process may take another month, basically just to get back to where we thought we were this morning.
That's what I'm hearing, and I'm glad you just spelled that out concisely and clearly, Ira. This is a roadblock, a bit of a road bump or whatever you want to describe it as, not a massive setback. Pain in the ass for these guys, but really for all of us who are anxious to see this thing move forward, it just got delayed. Basically, it just got delayed by what you said, what, another month? A week for them to file the amended complaint, but all in all, this is going to add up to just more delays, right?
Yeah, so FSU has a week, and then the ACC will have 20 days from then to respond to that complaint. So between the two, you're looking at about a month. But then Judge Cooper has to find a date for the hearing, which could take a little more time. And the concern for this is, and again, I'm not a lawyer. We'll have Mike or somebody on to give you some of the legal rulings, but I guess insight. But just from a common sense standpoint, right now we have these two cases going on separate tracks. The North Carolina case for the ACC against FSU and the FSU case against the ACC. And the feeling was, okay, if these are both going on separate tracks, who's going to finish first? Like, who's going to win their case before the other one? To me, that seems somewhat significant that now you have another a month of delays now here in Leon County just to get back to where Florida State was. So I think this was a misstep on the part of FSU's attorneys, not spelling it out clearly. I think Judge Cooper, everything I can tell is he's been very fair to FSU. And so for him to rule this way, it seems like they kind of messed up, and he's trying to follow the letter of the law. So now you have about a month delay here that, from a big picture standpoint, I don't think it affects this case, but it could hurt them if they're racing against that North Carolina case.
Yeah, so from a timeline standpoint. Well, I don't want you to get kidnapped. People are sneaking up behind you here. I'm going to let you run like the wind blows, Ira, and we'll talk tomorrow in headlines, and you can give us more insight. Thanks for covering it, brother.
Tell Kim I love her.
Ira Schaffel reporting from the courthouse for us. This is funny and fun. And I saw that guy creeping behind him, Tom. I got a little like, man, I don't want to. You know how you go on the YouTube or the interwebs and you find all these crazy videos of people getting hemmed up by somebody on the streets while they're trying to do a report.
It's because the car was passing him, then stopped and hit reverse. That's
not what we do.
Well, if you're in the news truck for the morning or afternoon news, evening news, and you see, you got a field report from the Capitol, and then there's this guy that walks behind this way, and then he stops, and he sees the camera, and he does this. Like, you're ready to pivot to a graphic. You're like, man, this guy's about to do something goofy. I do not like this.
Well, you know my history, Tom. I have an amazing spidey sense for people who are going to take this the wrong way, whether it's a phone call, a video session, the famed Mike Tomkiewicz moment.
It was Tomkiewicz. Tomkiewicz. So we're at Quarter Pocket Bar and Grill, an adjacent bar within there that we like to flock to. It's a nice little nook. We call it the Nook. And as he's beginning to ask his question, like whatever he said, just that was it.
Like two words, I went, that's it.
You grab my arm and go, I don't like this. And I thought you had like gas pains. I thought it was something to do with the physical place we were in, not the coach's show that we were watching. And I'm going, what, dude? I'm trying to drink my beer. Are you okay? Yeah. And you're like, this isn't going to go well. And you point to the screen. And there's Tomkiewicz like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Getting ready to go. And you're right. It was very, very, very impressive.
Yeah. No, and it's also like that quick-eyed fumble I noticed when we were on the road with Alicia. And I was like, damn it, he's fumbled the ball. It's the Bucks game.
There was a heated moment after that because we lost the ball. Of course we did.
Yes, we did.
And she looks up from her phone and goes, you guys fumbled? I'm like, well, if you were watching the game, you'd know that. And she goes, it's not even my bleeping team. And I'm like, it's a good retort. But don't ask the aggrieved fan of a team. Did you guys just lose the ball in that 5-second window when the referee just signals that you lost the ball?
I saw the little flash. It was just this momentary. I was like, knew what was coming. I'm still mad about it. It's all right. Worked out.
It's the wrong question. Don't ask a fan. Did you just lose? Like, basically, did you just lose? Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Can you give me 10 seconds? Can you give me 10 seconds, please?
Process that. The Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey, guys. I talked to you last month about my experience fitting with PXG, specifically the Black Ops driver and the fitting I had up here in Westchester, New York. I'm back to tell you, I now have it in my possession. It was mailed to me, specified exactly as I needed it with my club fitting. I am super excited to see how this driver performs for me. For a random Joe off the street, I'm a guy who can hit the ball pretty far. My carry numbers are somewhere between 240 and 260, depending upon how often I'm playing the game, but I hit it low and I drive that ball. I've had a Titleist TS3 driver for years, 8.5 degree. Sometimes it's up to 300, 305 if the conditions are right, but I live in that range of about 270 to 290. And I knew that when I went into their facility for a private fitting, which this was a VIP fitting, everybody, it's by yourself. You don't have people hovering over you, waiting to take over the bay. You've got a private appointment with a club fitter. Sometimes a secondary club fitter comes in. You see your numbers go up. I figured on this day that when I went in, my carry distance was going to be between 238 and 245 just because I'm in the cold. I haven't been playing through football season. I'm rusty. But within 25 minutes, my carry distance went up 251, 255, 258. It was really impressive to see. And now that I have the Black Ops driver in my possession, I can't wait to see what it does for me as the weather's warming up and I get to play a little bit more golf. So for you, you got to check out the PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron and use code Cameron at checkout. That's pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron.
Today has flown past. It's been a fun show to do as there have been obviously reports, but also things to think about post-spring. And not spring showcase, but just the spring in general. What do you have? What don't you have? What can you honestly discern about your personnel and the way they're going to be used? And who do you think you're going to lose? And who do you think maybe you should target out there in the portal? I do, you know, this has now been sort of indoctrinated and we've all acclimated to it. The whole portal thing is something now that's been added to college football that we like and don't like simultaneously. But certainly the way it's been utilized by Florida State has allowed this program to accelerate its ascent to greatness. And so for the most part, you like the opportunity at hand here. You fret about who might be gone and who might choose the option, but you also watch with great intrigue what's going to happen. Who are they going to go and bring in? When will the rumors start? You know, Michael Langston will certainly be on this. All of us at War Chant will be on it. We certainly can read into those rumors and provide questions and context and all of that as well.
Yeah, Matt Lasserre is doing a really good job on this too. You'll find a running thread on the premium recruiting board. It's just such a weird thing. Do you create your own forum for the transfer portal? Or you just know. So it's in the premium recruiting board on warchant.com where there's a tracker of names that could be tied to Florida State as in positions of need, whatever. And as they declare to be in the portal, that's one thread. Then there's threads with developments, Florida State official contact, which at midnight tonight that could begin. And then you can expect and you'll find on War Chant TV several features this week. We'll have daily recaps as long as there's some kind of news that occurs each day. If you say, I don't want to go through the up and down, just give me a daily recap. We'll have it on War Chant TV with videos summarizing what's happened in the last 24 hours, where Florida State stands with certain positions. So we're going to have you covered top to bottom in addition to the smash tonight. I'm sure that's going to come up since Florida State lost its legal issue. We're not going to talk about that for very long. We'll talk about the spring game and the portal, I'm sure, a lot more than the legal proceedings today that hit a roadblock.
Jeff, between now and Friday, over under 7 roster changes, additions, and subtractions, via portal, writes Briley. Oh, wow. Golly. I haven't given that much thought. I would guess over. When does the portal close? The 2nd of May?
I think it closes the 30th officially. So Friday's tight. I think you're looking probably around that number of just subtractions. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to probably lose three wide receivers. I think they'll probably lose a running back. Maybe. I don't know that. You probably lose. I mean, there's somebody, it seems likely you're going to lose somebody you're not expecting to lose, maybe somewhere in there, just like a random, like, oh, whoa, I didn't see that coming. So now you're talking about 5 to 6 right there. There may be an offensive lineman who has no chance of playing that decides to put his name in the portal. Same for the defensive line. Yeah, I think you could lose 6 to 7 guys just on your own roster. And then let's talk about who you're going to go after. I would love to, by Friday at the very least, have a real good sense of these 5 guys, these 6 guys, these 3 guys, whoever it is. I'd really like to know who they're going after. So cross my fingers.
Well, where the numbers are right now, there has to be a lot in the export market to be able to import some dudes.
That's true too, yeah.
Because it's not just about, you've got a lot more than, I mean, not a lot more, but you got more than 85, let's call it, right now with the incoming. But then there's also the scholarship production over the next couple of years. If you're trying to operate to where you're at that 83 or that 82 number this year, I mean, again, every single exit would count towards being able to get guys in that help put you over the top for this fall. And this is a key window. This is a very important window to be able to do that.
Greedy Vance on his way out. We already knew that. He had announced, and so you could already count one right there, and then you start going through it and see what else you get. It'll be fascinating. I am kind of curious. We got to say goodbye to the folks in the chat because, Tom, I'm about to double up on the clickety-doo make it happen.
Is it going to be radio only for hockey recommendations as well?
Oh, well, if you can rapid fire this thing, we got just over six minutes left in the show. So I got plenty of time to get to probables. What is the pick? What are the picks? Because you were rolling over the weekend.
We did okay over the weekend. My two highest confidence were the unders on the New York games.
And that happened. Yeah.
And those both hit. And then I said Winnipeg. That would be a good one. And that hit. Big time. The one that didn't was Toronto Boston. But I'm doubling down tonight. I'm playing Toronto. Heads up. They've got good. Let's see. I got Carolina and Dallas in a parlay. So you want winners. This is winners only. Carolina, Dallas parlay. If you play them by themselves, you don't get great value. You play them together, you do. +143, Carolina and Dallas. And then we're hammering the under again. It's getting more expensive, but you still got to do it. Hammering the under in Islanders and Hurricanes. And that's 5.5 or 6, depending upon where you get it. So those are your two plays.
I like the plays, Tom. Good job out of you. By the way, over the weekend, Scotty Scheffler finished up this morning. Another win. He's won every tournament but one that he's entered this year. The one he didn't win, he finished second by one stroke. He also, by the way, Tom, prior to teeing off this morning for the last 4 holes there, he had gone, I believe I saw this correctly, 54 straight holes without a score over 4.
Oh, man. Wow. I can't do that at mini golf.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard about. I mean, what do we do? This is where we're getting into Tiger Woods territory.
I've got a par 3 course that's 1 mile this way. And when you come up, maybe we can go. It's by the beach. It's a great multi-purpose thing. I can't get through 18 there at the par 3 course without going over 4 at least once. There's no way.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. All right, get rid of the folks in the chat. Love you guys. Be good. See you later. You're out of here.